If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yes, great.
Episode of the Zoomers with John Richardson from the Sunday Mirror, Charlie McCann, all things sport, betting, anything you know, and most importantly this week, all things Gibraltar. Because, I mean, it seems to me the sporting world, every time I pick up a paper or look on a website or whatever you do, I see Gibraltar, you know, Dillian White, this. You're the sporting hub, my friend.
Hub, indeed. Yeah, to the Netherlands as well, of course. And I know a lot of guys who went to the fight and they all, to a person, said it went seamlessly. Almost everything, I think, connections. Whether it will ever come back, you'd like to think some maybe it will in the future, but an extraordinary. You know, if you'd have told me 2 years ago that Gibraltar would, yes, I'd have to say that we would host the Netherlands in the European, you know, in the World Cup.
Where did you play that game? It's on Astro. It looks like sort of my local sort of leisure centre kind of thing.
Yeah, it is to all intents and purposes. The fight was done in Europa Point, which is, you know, one of the furthest sort of points south in Europe. And that is, there's a sort of lighthouse there as well. I don't know how much, but it was in, and the pitch is being relayed, I think, this quite soon.
The turf.
The AstroTurf. Yeah, the AstroTurf. And so for some of the internationals, the qualifiers, now that it's going to be in a sort of a barracks, an army barracks. Some, that's what they're saying. Some, because the one up in Europa Point where the fight was, that is exclusively cricket and rugby. So they're actually going to involve the some of the forces here. But, I mean, everyone said it went seamlessly. It was a great occasion. And, you know, White was very impressive. I've only seen sort of highlights of it. So I couldn't really comment on that. But it, as you say, 2 years ago, you couldn't agree. This couldn't have been the case, but it's a funny old world we live in these days.
They say the price of property is going up in Gibraltar now. So
I don't know about that, John.
It leads us on nicely from because I did when I now I sort of Gibraltar's in my mind, and I did sort of look at the Netherlands. But I think it was 1-0 at half time, wasn't it?
They scored just before half time, 3 minutes before.
And even Donny van der Beek scored in the second half. But yeah. Then it leads me on to John Richardson, who is our European and world football guru when it comes to these internationals. Did you enjoy it, Rico? What were you casting your eye on?
Well, I actually got a bit of stick on Twitter because, you know, when Holland lost against Turkey, I said that Frank de Boer couldn't manage a chip shop. And I got quite a few chip shop owners on my case, you know. They weren't too happy.
He's chippy. Yeah, but he's very.
I didn't enjoy the games too much because there was no competition as far as England was concerned, except Poland, I suppose, to an extent where we made hard work of it in the second half, didn't we? I just fear for England when we come up against a top country. I think we're still lacking. We've got some good young players.
Who is the top country?
The top country at the moment, I suppose.
Germany are one.
Belgium. Belgium are decent. I mean, what's happening to Germany, you just can't believe, can you? I mean, and Timo Werner must have been one of the misses. I keep on defending him, but I can't keep going on like this because he keeps missing so many chances.
Wide open, Rob.
I can't see. I mean, France, what you end up doing, because there's so games you kind of flip between. I mean, France, who you think, gosh, they must have a good side. They didn't look particularly, they didn't have a very good couple of weeks, did they? Germany, obviously, we know what happened with them. Belgium, I'm like,
no, the, not for me.
For Belgium was the old Spurs two. And it was Thomas Vermaelen played at one point. I'm sure he did. I'm thinking, hang on. It was Vertonghen, Vermaelen, and your man from...
And Alderweireld.
and Alderweireld, and I'm thinking as a back three, and I'm thinking, blooming heck, is that, you know, that's not too good.
But this is
not too good.
This is the great thing about this Euros.
I think we have the best young players. I think we, you know, if you look through Europe, I think we've got a bunch of good young players. I mean, the best one, well, he's not that young now, but Jack Grealish, of course, was missing, and we're all Jack Grealish fans, aren't we? And people are now sort of saying, oh, he's missed the boat. Well, I don't think so.
Well, no, Rico, do you know, it was one of my points I'd written down on my things to talk about today is I just wonder if the player that had the best couple of weeks is Jack Grealish and the couple of weeks before, in the sense that by hook or by crook, he's actually had a rest, as you could call it. I know he's been injured. He's actually had a rest, a key point in a season where you'd expect Jack now, they reckon he's going to be fit this weekend, to kick on now and actually be firing for the Euros when others have maybe sort of, you know, get to the end of the season and have run their race.
I mean, as we all know, with this strange season, I mean, players are exhausted, aren't they? You know, they've been asked to do too much. And you're right, Rob. And Jack Grealish having 5 or 6 weeks out at the moment could be a godsend for England come the summer. You do worry about injuries. You know, players are going to get injuries because they are playing far too many games. You've got the Champions League games coming up this week. It's non-stop. It's like that hamster wheel. You know, it keeps on going. And I thought Declan Rice as rubber stamped his place in the side, you know, as he is a holding midfield player, but he can do more than that. You know, he can go box to box.
I wonder if Jack Grealish and Jordan Henderson didn't, and maybe even Saka at Arsenal didn't, weren't winners in this. I think the Euros is going to be absolutely, you know, there's not one outstanding team. Spain, I would just favour at the moment. I think that, you know, they're not pulling up many trees at the moment, but you look at this sort of side that they potentially have. I worry about the goals, but, you know, I like their midfield and defence. But Turkey were 100-1 before last weekend. They're into 66-1. And they're going to score goals. And they probably were the ones who were slightly overpriced. But I'd agree with everything you said, that everybody is... I could pick holes, certainly in France. You know, I'm not a Griezmann fan. Germany, you know, that North Macedonia, and why North Macedonia 66-1 when, you know, whatever. But it's going to be absolutely fascinating. But don't kid yourself, this is a massive opportunity for England. Playing every game at Wembley, maybe, but I want them. This is a massive opportunity for England. And as you say, I'd like to see Henderson, you know, again, Henderson maybe rejuvenated. Henderson, I'd like to see. You know, I don't know whether Rashford, it looked, you know, I was working out, it looks like Rashford or Grealish to me for one place. I know where I'd go. I think I know where Southgate will go, and that's he'll start. But the important thing is by the end of this, when England get knocked out, if they get knocked out, I think Grealish will be in that side, and I think England have got a hell of a chance.
Rico?
Yeah, I mean, I've got my England side now worked out. Well, Pope or Pickford, you know, I don't mind there. The back four that actually is played, Kyle Walker, John Stones, Harry Maguire, I'd go Luke Shaw. And then I'd go probably Rice and Mount. And then I'd go Sterling, Grealish, Foden, Kane up front. But one argue with Jordan Henderson coming into one of those two, but that's mine. I think it's just a bit more attacking.
Charlie?
Luke Shaw or I want to get Saka in. I want to get as many attacking players in. I want to go down on our sort of home advantage. I want to have a go, especially if this crowd's there. Kane obviously is a pick. Grealish, Mount and Sterling, and for me, the two holding players are Rice and Henderson. I don't think it's, you know, we can have, I know they're best friends, aren't they? I think Mount and Rice, but that won't be the case. Henderson and Rice, I would probably pick, I don't know what's gone on with Trent Alexander-Arnold. One thing's for sure, if we're problematic, is the right back position. I think we're okay there as well. We've got at least two, but I don't, that Trent Alexander-Arnold thing is strange for me. You know, what's happened there? How come he's not not in the squad? Kyle Walker's a hell of a player. And I'm a Saka fan, I must say. And I want to get him into the side somewhere. And whether he could play left back, I don't know. But these are great, exciting times, I must say. Absolutely exciting times. And England weren't very good. It would have been interesting if Lewandowski and Klitsch would have been playing for Poland. But when you think they kept bringing people on who were giving England a game, and they were playing for West Brom reserves, Brighton reserves, Brentford reserves, you know. But that said, I still think we've got a hell of a chance.
Well, there's an interesting change, as you know. We can now, there's going to be five substitutes in the European Championships, which personally I don't like. I don't, you know, I've been to games, you know, in the lower leagues where there's five substitutions, and it just wrecks the game. You know, it slows it down, this and that. But I think five substitutes in the European Championships gives England a hell of an advantage, because it'll be like the rugby union where you have starters and finishers.
Yes.
And as Charlie mentioned, a few players there that might not get in the first 11, but they'll be on the bench. So you can virtually, for the last half hour, have a completely different team, full of re-energised. And the advantage is that we have got, I think, better players on the bench than a lot of other countries. So we can have starters and finishers.
So basically, we were actually aware of the European and the international football there, as us saying that we don't care, but we've actually secretly, we've all... The only thing I should say...
We'll be caring in June, don't kid yourself.
Exactly. I can say at this point, Rico, that I was sitting watching Wales against the Czech Republic with my son. Yeah. I was relaying to him how Charlie McCann... Honestly, this is the honest truth. I was talking to him, and I go,
what a header. It was Ron David.
He laughs at Dan James, you know, not badly, but you know, Dan James. At that precise moment, Gareth Bale whips over an absolute sensation. A little down at the far post, bulleted a header, which was one of the great moments of the 2 weeks. Honestly, the tools were on the floor, and I had to text our Gibraltar correspondent at that point.
I thought it was a mirror that Dan James had got wide, and Gareth Bale had headed
on the far post, yeah.
It was fantastic, wasn't it? What a goal that was. What a brilliant... And as you say, when you say one of them, well, arguably the highlight.
Yes.
I'd say of the...
Without question.
Absolutely.
Because of you.
Pivotal. But honestly, I couldn't... I thought he'd gone on a box. Brilliant. You credit where it's due. Not good. Fabulous. Fabulous.
Right, because we're getting away here, let me just move on back to you, Rico. With, I would, as a father, love to be Alfie Haaland at the moment, sitting there. You know, we're all worrying about our pensions and what's going on and all this. Go on, what's happening? And there's Alfie sitting there with a son who's been 154 million, I think, is the asking price, being touted around Barcelona, Real Madrid. He's coming to England this week to have a chat about who's going to take him. And then Dortmund ring up and go, actually, he's not for sale. I mean, it's just beyond, it beggars belief, but it's happening. And will it happen?
Well, the reason he didn't go to Manchester United is because of Alfie Inge Haaland. Because I can reveal that he asked for a lot of money for his son to go there, and Manchester United said no. They've already got to look after his agents. But Alfie's trying to get in on the act as well. And so the two of them in the back of a car go to Barcelona and Madrid. You just think, what has happened to football?
As
you
said, this week,
they weren't given the mandate to sell him. You know, they were just acting off their own volition and looking to feather their nest, you know, and it's ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about a fee which could rise up to, I don't know, 90, 100 million.
Well, 154 was quoted. I mean, it's paid. Yeah,
well, I'll tell you why, because you've got to factor in 40 or 50 million for this pair. You know, half expected to see Al Capone in the back with them. It's ridiculous.
It was hilarious.
The way
and he didn't score against Gibraltar.
No, he didn't. Jib kept him out. The thing is, we're in a world now where, I mean, every other alternative article I pick up is Barcelona are absolutely flat broke.
Yeah.
Real Madrid ain't got any money because they're trying to flog off players to get farther. I mean, they're saying Manchester, is it likely there'll be a £100 million transfer, do you think, this summer in the current financial climate?
Well, don't forget football's in this bubble, isn't it? Doesn't recognise what's going on in the world, you know, with the pandemic. So, yeah, it's so crazy, it will happen. And you hope that people look at it and think it's obscene. But, fans of that football club probably won't. You know, it could well be Manchester City. I mean, it's very interesting. We've talked about Sergio Aguero before, and Charlie got it spot on early in the season, to be fair. He said this would probably be his last season at City, and it's proven to be. But I can also say this is not Sergio's decision. It's Manchester City's decision.
Quite rightly.
To let him go.
Quite rightly.
Go on, Charlie. Sorry.
Well, no, I honestly think that Guardiola's been trying to get rid of him for at least one season before now. I mean, he's become injury prone. He's not the player of old. You know, Sergio Aguero has not been a great player. He's been a legend, of course, for Manchester City, but he's been paid well as a result. And time waits for nobody. And they say there's no sentiment in football. Sergio Aguero should not have been playing for Manchester City if maybe people behind the scenes at Manchester were as ruthless as I think Guardiola. Guardiola never wanted him. It was... Now, City are the ones, aren't they, I think, who may pay that money. I don't know, you know, I think in some walks of life, I don't know whether, you know, the Saudi billions and billions and trillions or whatever, they've been as affected as other areas by the pandemic. Maybe they were more influenced by what happened in the Suez Canal rather than the pandemic recently. But Aguero, you know, is going out, I think, 12 months too late. I thought they should have got Haaland last summer. But as you say, those two, as you say, when John says about Al Capone, you know what? It's not that wide in the mark, is it? You know, one the amount of money I believe reportedly that Dortmund had to pay his agents is extraordinary. It's bizarre.
We will talk about Newcastle Spurs this weekend and the games. Rico, LeBron James has taken over Liverpool. That's got to be good news, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, you look at that, and funny enough, I was talking to a former Welsh international about that yesterday, who's very close to Liverpool. And it's a very clever ploy by Fenway Sports, because they don't want to sell the club yet, but obviously the price is going up and up, but they're short of money, because of what's happened in America with the basketball, et cetera, et cetera. So they cleverly bring, you know, other people in to help finance them for the next couple of years.
It's substantial money as well, isn't it?
It is, 500 and odd million. And I think maybe other partners will be brought in, but it's very clever because the price of the club keeps on going up. So they're not losing anything. They'll get this money back plus extra when they eventually come to sell, which I'm told is not yet. So it's a good bit of business. It keeps the wheels turning at Liverpool because, as been mentioned in this season, there's, you know, it's not all good behind the scenes. So this does alleviate some of the problems.
What have you got your eye on this weekend, Charlie? In terms of the football, Arsenal, Liverpool. They're saying, you know, it's the papers building up this. Can people finish in the top four? Which I always kind of smile about. But that certainly is wide open, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. I think it's a massive game. I think Arsenal. As much as anything, I want to see a barometer of where Arsenal are. I want to see where Liverpool are. Thiago Alcantara. I don't know whether he certainly didn't play on midweek, because I was going through one of the things I was looking at. Rodri was on the bench. Thiago Alcantara was on the bench, and I was looking at their depth, which John Talk spoke about the English. I think Spain have got depth. Whether they've got her in the front attacking options, I'm not convinced. But I think this is a massive game. I think this, you know, when you think what Liverpool have got to come in the midweek, this is a really exciting time. I think now, you know, you're getting down to the nitty gritty as well. No Lewandowski for Bayern, for Munich, you know, could that be influential in their quarterfinal as well? And, you know, I think most neutrals would like Manchester City to win a Champions League. But could they win all four? Could, you know?
I mean, that's astonishing.
Aguero, 92nd minute. Who knows?
I honestly do think sometimes because of the money obviously City have spent and whatever, I do think we are very sniffy about just how good this Manchester City and what they've been for the Premier League, and you know they've almost Pep as Rico's mate, you know the style they play and everything. I do think we sort of, maybe it's they're so good we're like expect so much more. I mean they could win four.
So they should have spent all the money. I mean, you know.
All down. Does it all come down to that?
Of course it does. You know, they play good football, and I'll give Pep Guardiola credit with that. They play good football. He does improve players, and they do compete in every competition with you know, strong sides. I'll give him that. Let's not be fooled. The more money you have, I think the job becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah,
you know, I went to watch Morecambe and Cheltenham last week. I couldn't imagine Pep Guardiola in charge of Morecambe, to be honest. You know, that is a battle. And Derek Adams, by the way, has done a hell of a job there.
Brilliant job.
They were pre-season favourites to go out the league, and now they're, you know, going for promotion. And you know, those are the managers that I respect. You know, people who make a big difference. Back to the Champions League, by the way. You both will notice that there's talk about this new Champions League from 2024-25.
Yeah.
Now, this game, Arsenal against Liverpool, in 24-25 won't really matter because Liverpool would then guarantee a place in the Champions League for the highest coefficients. So you take away that, oh, look at this, this is a top four battle. It won't be, because one of those sides would be safely encamped in the competition the next season. It doesn't matter if they finish 12th, 13th, or 14th. And, you know, that's a worry for me.
It's more than worry for me. I can't say how anti I am of this expansion. Charlie on Gibraltar is more European than us. It's going to happen, isn't it? It's going to happen, expansion.
It is going to happen. And, you know, you wonder whether we are being sort of dinosaurs not wanting to happen when, you know, all life is all the progression and were we anti the Premier League when that started and things like that, and look how that has worked out. But whatever we think at this stage as well. But John is so right there. Can you imagine that game? We, you know, here we are. We know Manchester City are going to win the league. Yes, there are relegation issues and Newcastle, you know, and that is... But the battle for the top four is really intriguing. But as John says, in 3 years' time, that could be totally irrelevant. And here we would be with this game, you know, at the end. I'm so looking forward to it. It would only be they could play their, you know, second strings almost if they had bigger games in Europe midweek, you know. And that's not surely what domestic football is about.
Well, that's my feel. Is it basically, come what may, it just dumbs down domestic football.
Yeah.
It dumbs down domestic football, and it not only dumbs down the Premier League, it dumbs down the Championship, which I've always grown up with. And, you know, the League Two is equally important as it should be, as the Premier League. Because we're moving on. Rico, Newcastle Spurs, why? With a Steve Bruce, at what point does Steve Bruce, he's not going to do it now because there's no point, and Mike Ashley's come out and supported him, but at what point does he go, you know, what am I? What's the point?
I know Steve quite well, as you know, and I feel for him.
I do.
I do think he is responsible for certain things. Obviously, he's the manager, but I think what will happen is that hopefully for him, he will keep Newcastle in the Premier League. He'll walk away in the summer. I know Alex Bruce's son, who you know, he's appalled by the it's more than criticism. It's vile. You know, it's social media abuse. It's non-stop. Some of my colleagues, I don't think, have helped themselves. It's been malicious. And Steve Bruce is a fantastic football man. He's doing his best. Okay. Criticise him, you know, constructive criticism. But this isn't constructive criticism. It's horrible. And I hope Steve, for his health and his you know, he says goodbye to Newcastle in the summer.
Just on that, I noticed Rafa Benitez's big article. Rafa's kind of back was kind of announced. Is the spectre of Rafa not, well, one, would Newcastle fans take Rafa back now? But two, will Rafa end up with a job? Because it looks like there will be a merry-go-round in managerial vacancies in the summer. Is Rafa a Premier League manager, or will be a Premier League manager again?
I'm certainly will be. It won't be at Newcastle because there was a bit of a fallout. You know, if Mike Ashley's still in charge, of course, it'd be different if the takeover actually happens. I think Rafa would be their first choice. But yeah, there'll be clubs looking for him. I'm surprised Celtic didn't go for him. Looks like, that's going to be Eddie Howe's job. Yeah, in answer to your question, Rob, he will be back in the Premier League next season at some juncture.
You went out of the FA Cup. We'll try not to end on a downer, but you went out of the FA Cup, Charlie, as you predicted.
With a whimper.
What does Everton's season now hold? What are you expecting, a final flourish?
No, that's so unfair. You want me to go back? I said Everton would finish eighth, and Everton will finish eighth, and they will not finish above eighth next season, irrespective of how great a manager Carlo Ancelotti is, and he is a great manager. But, you know, we have, you know, a very, very ordinary, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, weeding to do still, I think, at Everton. And, you know, again, Godfrey has been a revelation, but the other three, you know, would you say James, where would you put James on? I would put Doucouré higher than on a par with, so I would say, Ben Godfrey has been the best signing, Doucouré second signing, and then Alan and James, obviously their ability-wise. But you've got to remember, we never nicked these from other clubs. We were the only clubs interested in them, and that was for one reason, and that was for their injury record and et cetera. And that is sort of why everyone, of course, they were going to come in with a bang, but we had to sort of put it, you know, Alan reminds me of a very ordinary, a very slow piece of Reid now, you know, when Reedy toward the end, not the Reedy of 84, 85, 86, et cetera. This is the Reedy of, you know, I keep expecting when he starts running, but it was like Steptoe's horse or something. You know, he came in with a, you know, and you're not telling me, and Carlo Ancelotti, you know, will know this, and he has big decisions to make, but we'll finish eighth, and I hope we beat Crystal Palace, because there's a lot of my friends here on the Rock are Crystal Palace supporters. So that's one game we look forward to every year is Everton versus Palace. But eighth for Everton, big task this summer for Carlo Ancelotti.
Charlie, thanks a lot. Rico, thanks a lot. Great seeing you both. We'll do it all next week.
Look forward to it.
See you, boys.
See you, guys.